All right, second Sunday in Advent. Ah, I love the Advent season. What are some favorite Christmas carols, just out of curiosity? What are some of y'all's favorite Christmas carols?
One of mine is one of me just played.
Do you hear what I hear? Oh, that's a good one. Go Tell It on the Mountain. Yeah, very good one. Oh, I love Silent Night. I love It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. That's not a carol, but good try. I listened to that song the other day, and like I've only heard the first verse, but I was just sitting in the car driving, and I was like, I'm going to listen to some Christmas music. That one comes on. It's a messed up song. I mean, no shame. I was just like listening to those lyrics, and I was like, oh, this gets dark. This gets very dark for Christmas. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What child is this? Oh, yeah. But It Came Upon a Midnight Clear because, for me, the specific line that we just sang, talking about the hope. And today what we're going to be focusing on is the hope that we have in Jesus. The four seasons of, like, the four things that the Advent candles represent. Today we're going to be focusing on hope. And the scripture, that's my bad for not having it in the bulletin, I'll take, just letting everybody know right there, is Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who is spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all from Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce the fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the word of God for the people of God." All right, now as we start to look at this section here, this story of John the Baptist kind of saying what's about to happen, what's coming, because he's just giving a warning, necessarily. He was known as the one to prepare the way, getting everything ready. But first, we got to look at who John the Baptist was, why it goes so in-depth of his character. We're going to skip ahead in the little verses here before we focus on that main part from Isaiah. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. So that means he was pretty much a wanderer. He lived out in the desert. He wasn't part of the city life, you know. He was just out in the desert baptizing people. Because he was set apart by God to prepare the way. Because notice, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Now, this prophecy is about John the Baptist. But really, we can apply this to the Christmas season. Let's think about this. Last week we talked about peace, how we start to have the peace of God, the peace of the Christmas season, even though it seems like that's not possible. But knowing the peace of the one who is about to be born. So then, What does that mean? Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. How does that apply to us? Well, really, in the Christmas season, when we're talking about Jesus being born, it's our job to prepare the way for the Lord. Amen? Proclaiming the good news, proclaiming the gospel that Jesus is born. That's what it's talking about here. And really, I can't really see a better example of this than what I was doing yesterday. So my home church of Cokesbury, they do this thing called Christmas Hope. What it is they register families who are financially in need, who are financially struggling very, very hard, who can't afford a Christmas for their family. And they come in, all the families, they have childcare, they have youth Christmas parties. I was working the part where the high schoolers and middle schoolers would come in, we played games, made ornaments, stuff like that, and they could buy gifts for their parents too. I knew that I was becoming an adult because I wanted most of those gifts myself, all the tools and everything like that. Kind of made me feel sad. I'm growing up, but that's another topic for another day. And the families go in and they just receive, receive, and receive love. They receive love in places that they're not usually used to, from complete strangers most of the time. And really, what that's doing, that's really getting ourselves ready for what we're going to celebrate. What that's getting us ready for is when Jesus comes, the whole peace, everything will make sense. All of the peace, the new kingdom will be on earth, like it says in the Bible, all that apocalyptic writing. But what I really want to focus on is hope. Instead of this, all of this prophecy of saying everything is going to burn, he's ready, God's ready, he's coming back, it's getting wild. Because if you look at this verse, that's hard to think about hope. Because what it sounds like is just anger. God's wrath is coming. But that's not the case. Notice he goes on to say in verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me, one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry, will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, you see, hope is a hard journey, amen? Having hope is a hard journey. I know for me, speaking of if I'm going to get out of college on time, at first it was hard. I had to hope and I prayed like nobody's business. And that's just been me. But in the grander scheme of things, one thing about this church, the hope that it will continue on, the hope that we will come together every day and have community with each other every Sunday and every day in this week. And really, we don't know what will happen. But no matter what, God will take care of us. And the reason I say that is because he already has, by sending his son, the Savior of the world, to be born on Christmas Day. The hope that came upon that midnight clear. The hope that we have in Jesus. And really, with this gospel reading, it's all about preparing the way. And we've talked about this. We've talked about things like this before. We've looked at Matthew because the whole purpose of Matthew, the whole purpose of the gospel of Matthew, is written towards a Jewish audience, trying to convince that Jesus is the Messiah that was spoken in the prophecy to come, trying to prove that he is the right person. Now, many rejected that. But the reason Matthew is so important is because we've all grown up in a Christian background. And we all know that Jesus is the Messiah being born. That's why we're celebrating Christmas. But we got to go deeper than that. We've got to go deeper than just accepting the fact that he was born. We have to accept the hope that he brings with his birth. What his birth actually means. And that's the hope. So funny. Like having, I know we talk about, I feel like, you know, the person saying the kids are the future of the church, but having the kids, just like Levi, just sitting over there, wanting to light the Advent candle, even though he's too short, it's okay. That's the hope that we see. So then, where else do we see it in our lives? How can we apply what John the Baptist is talking about, him preparing the way? How can we prepare the way for Christmas Day? Just think about that for a second. Just think about our daily lives. I remember last week when we were talking about the peace of God, the peace of Christmas, I'd mentioned how on the way I completely missed out on a chance for that peace. But yesterday, and let me be clear, this is not tooting my own horn in any way. Because in reality, I'm not worthy to participate in the glory and the hope of Jesus Christ. But through his love, we all are. Through him dying on the cross, we all are. Through him being born with his teachings, we all are. I got to experience the hope that is Jesus. And really, again, hope is another form of faith because we don't know what's going to come. A lot of it, as we close down this part, is people saying, this is just talking about the baptism of fire, the baptism of Jesus coming back, writing everything. Well, that's all true. That's not necessarily the case. What it's talking about is the hope that he's going to bring, not the wrath. The peace on earth, goodwill to men, that we always hear in the Christmas carols. Even with this song that Tina chose for us for the Christmas, for the children's Christmas time, do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Asking that question, do you see it? Do you hear it? That's having hope. Another sign of faith. And as we close, we're going to be closing out the year in December, finishing up on faith as we, before we start our new series of where the church is going to go, of how we can impact the others in our community. But the reason I keep hitting on hope and faith is because those are the basis of Christianity. Those are the basis of our daily walks with Jesus. So then how can we give our hope out in our daily lives? How can we give hope to those who need it? Because we already do it with each other. By the community that we share in this room together. When we greet each other, not just asking, hey, how are you doing? But actually talking with each other. How we're all one family. And I know I say it every Sunday, but that's the key of what we've got to do. We've got to take what we have in here and give it to the world. Because that is exactly what God did with Jesus. He came down from heaven and gave him to us. His ultimate plan of salvation, of rebuilding the relationship, to have it with him, he did that when he didn't have to. And again, I'll be the first to say it, I'm not worthy enough for that. But he still did it. Humans, we mess up. We don't show love when we need to. We miss out on those moments to give hope. But God still did it. So let's take that hope and give it to others. Let's show them the hope of, even though we don't really know where we're going, what the future holds for us throughout the next year. We just know we have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the hope that God takes care of us. So let's go take care of others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.